Okay, the boys side, today's daf is daf Pei Ches. We're starting from the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. And what the Mishnah is coming to tell us is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, that just like the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, and the Kevesh is Mekadesh, the same thing applies to the Kalim, the Klisharis, and the Beis Midrash. They're Mekadesh, the carbon that was put into them. So as a brief introduction, any time a person is Makdish, an animal, or an oif, to be brought on the Mizbeach, to be brought on the Beis Hamikdash, all you need to do is do that Hakdosha, that consecration. I buy an animal, I own an animal, and I say that this Bakar, this Tzoyin, this Eiz, I Makdish it for a Karm Oile, Karm Shlomim, what have you. All of those things work perfectly. However, when you're talking about something inanimate such as a Mincha, that's on the dry side, or on the liquid side, you have the yayin, or the shemen, or the mayim. What gives them a degree of kedusha? Only when they are inserted within a klisharis. What is a typical klisharis that we usually talk about in the Gemara? A mizrak, which is usually used for the Kabbalah Saddam. However, it's interchangeable. You can go and use it, not only for Kabbalah Saddam, but also for yayin, for shemen, for mayim during the Sukkot time that you use it for Nisach HaMayim. So all of these things will be infused with a Kedusha when they get inside the Kli. But until that point, they have no Kedusha. So if you're talking about... So in connection with the Yayin B'Shemen, or the Karb Mincha, before you place them into that Kli Shareis, it does not have Kedusha. So if, for instance, someone were to go and bring into the Beis HaMikdash a bag of flour, a basin full of flour, and the Kohen says, what is this all about? What do you mean? I'm bringing it for a Karb Mincha. Great. The moment it does not have any Kedusha, once the person puts it into the Kli Shareis, then it gets a Kedusha. And what does that mean, it gets a Kedusha? Now it is ro'oi to be put on the Mizbeach. Of course, you have to do a Kemitza first, and then you put on the Mizbeach.
Is this consecration notwithstanding?
It's in addition to your normal consecration. When it comes to the animal, the consecration is sufficient. You don't need more than that. I say that this animal is now an oile, it's a shlomim, it's a toide, it's a bechor, whatever it is. It has to be a bechor. Whatever the halacha is, whatever he calls it, that's what it has.
So you can't take a flask of wine and saying I'm consecrating it for the...
You can say that Finhant bis Morgan, and you can use it for Kiddush on Shabbos, and you can use it for Abdullah Matzah Shabbos, but it doesn't get the Kedusha to be put on the Mizbeach until you pour it into a Klisharis.
And you wouldn't be Chayv Mila on it either.
You're now talking about the negative side. First, on the positive side is to go and give it a caduceous carbon, to be able to bring it for carbon, it has to be put into a klisharis. Now there is on the other side, and what is the other side? Let's go back to our carbon mincho, your flask of wine, until he puts it into klisharis. He brings it to Beis HaMikdash. What happens if he decides, you know what, you know, this flour doesn't really look so great, I want to get AAA flour, and this looks more kind of triple B. Or this wine, I just smelled it now, and it smells a little bit off. I want to bring new wine. And he takes it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. As long as it has not been put into that Kli Shareis, nothing happened. It does not become posel biyotze. It's just chulin. He put chulin in, he took chulin out. When you put it into that Kli Shareis, now it becomes niskadish, not only for the positive, you can bring it for a carbon, also for the negative, such as what we were talking about just now about posel yotze. Same thing would apply to Hilchos Me'ilah. When does it have a din of Me'ilah that if you have Hanoah from it, only after it entered into the Kli Shareis? Before the Kli Shareis, Kunish. So you could have eaten it until now, you could have drunk it until now, you can continue doing the same as long as it's not put into Kli Shareis. Once the Kli Shareis, it has that Kedusha both for the positive and for the negative.
But
yes.
You could have designated it. Could you not for a Corbin? And if you did do that, wouldn't it be infused at least with Kedusha's Beit HaKabayis?
Only by Balichai. Oh, Beit HaKabayis is only if you're Miyachid for Beit HaKabayis. Uh-huh. You can go and give it a Kedusha's Domim. I'm going to go and be Mekadosh this for purposes of bringing it in the step back a moment. The Kedushas Damim is when you go and take an object and you are makdash it either for the Mizbeach or for the Gizbar. In the case of the Gizbar, then it's very simple. You take it and you hand it over to the Gizbar and we're done. The only Kedusha that it gets is the Kedushas Damim. If you're going to go and be makdash this table, this chair, for a carbon, so unless it's a carbon eitzim, under normal circumstances, what do you want to go and bring it for? I want to bring it for carbon. It only gets a Kedushas Damim, it does not get a Kedushas Haguf. What's the difference between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Haguf? Kedushas Haguf, you can only go and be poda if it's a Baal Chai when it gets a Mum. If it's Kedushas Haguf and it's not a Baal Chai, then you're stuck with it. It ain't loy pigeon. If you have now a case of your table and your chair that you made for purposes of the carbon, it was not my intention of putting the table and chair on the Mizbeach. It was my intention of using the funds after I sell this to go and buy a carbon. So that's what we call Kedushas Damim. That doesn't mean it has anything to do with the Gizbar. It just means that I've made it Kodesh for purposes of selling, taking the money, and buying a carbon. You can have a person who takes an animal, which is totally ro'oi la'mizbeach, and he says, I infuse this, I consecrate it with Kedushas Damim, that we have another Gemara that says it's an automatic upgrade. Since it's Roi L'Mizbeach, it gets automatically upgraded. It itself becomes the carbon, not to go and sell it, but to go and take the money, but it itself gets the Kedushas carbon. Okay, anyway, that's kind of a general background. Now our Mishnah goes and tells us something else. There's something known as Kalim and something known as Midois. What are Midois? Midois means a klisharis, which was used for the purpose of measuring, like we would call today a measuring cup. And there are two types of measures. There is the liquid measure, and there is the measure for solids. Let's talk about solids first. The midois hayovesh, there were only two sizes. Two sizes fit all, so to speak. One size was a size of an isorain, and the other one was a chatzi isorain. Your typical carbon, which was yovesh, was a carbon mincha. By a carbon mincha, the minimum that you had to go and give was an isarin. How much is an isarin in modern day volume? I don't know. Chwais assume that it's a quarter, not a quarter, a quart, like a quart of milk. Maybe it's a gallon, whatever it happens to be. It's a volume of an isarin. So they had midois in the base of Migdash, which were esrainim. And then they also had a chatzi isarin, half of an isarin. Why did they have an isarin and a chatzi isarin? Says Rashi, they had the isarin because your standard mincha and your minimum for a mincha was an isarin. So if somebody says, I want to go and donate a mincha and bring it for a carbon, it isn't tight, but you have to go and bring an isarin. When he brought the flour into the base of Migdash, we poured it into that measuring isarin. If it goes to the top of the isarin, wherever the notch was, oh, beautiful. However, if it was short, we would tell them, you got to be mamala, you have to go and fill it up because you don't have your full isar. The reason why they had a chatzi isar is because there's something known as a minchas chavitin. Minchas chavitin was brought by a kohen gadol every single day, a special carbon gadol carbon called chavite kohen gadol, chavitin. And you started off in the morning with a full isar, but then they divided it up into two separate kelim, machtzisa baboike, machtzisa ba'arev, and therefore each one of them was a chatzi isar. To be able to measure it properly, they had these two measuring utensils, measuring cups, one for nisar, one chatzi isar. There may have been 50 of them. In other words, there may have been 50 of the esroinim and 50 of the chatzi isar. Maybe they only had 10, maybe they had 100. But those were the only klei yovesh and midois hayovesh that they had in the base of Mikdash. In addition to that, they had measuring cups, midois of lach, and there it wasn't two, it was seven altogether. What were the seven? You started off with a hin, chatzia hin, shlishis a hin, revias a hin, aloik, chatzia aloik, and revias aloik. Why did they have all of these different sizes? Well, some of them were miyuchad. For instance, whenever you go and bring a minchas tesochim together with your carbon oivitz, your carbon shlomim. So it says in the pasuk, chatzia hin yeh lapar, shlichas hin la'ayil, revias hin la'keves. Aha, so if you're bringing now wine as part of the nesachim to accompany the carbon, so if it was a bakar, it had to be a chatzia hin. So you measured it in the meter called the chatzia hin. And if it was a Ayil. Ayil is an older lamb. The difference between an Ayil and a Keves, as you all know, Keves is up to the first year birthday, and then after that into next year it becomes an Ayil. Yeah, there's a Pilgus in between, but we don't need to talk about that because that's not Negea for these Shurim. So you have the hin, you have the chatzia hin, you have the shlishis hin, and the revias hin, which is for the keves, and then you have the loig. What's the loig for? The loig would be for the carbon oshim that the metzayer brings, etc., etc. There's a whole mishnah maseches menaches and gemara that goes into the utility of these seven midos halach. Good. Now, besides the midos hayavish, two of them, midos halach, seven of them, he also had the kalim. Now, Rashi is going to tell us shortly that they only had kli halach. They didn't have kli hayovish. What was kli halach? Kli halach means either bowls or basins in which they used to go and pour in, number one, the dam that spurted out at the time of the shechita. So that was the mizrak that they used for that dam. And then they had, you could use that mizrak for, or they had in addition to that, bowls and perhaps things which are more like pitchers and bottles, which were used for yayin and for shemen, for the wine, for the niske yayin. The shemen was used to be bolel, to mix in with the carbon mincha. You had for water, which was used for the nisach hamayim, always during sikkus time, etc. So those were clay halach. You did not have the equivalent of clay hayovesh, because Rashi explains that these clay halach were used for both. They were, I don't know if you, unigender wouldn't be the right term.
Multiple purpose.
Ah, givaldic, multi-purpose. You can use them both for liquids and you can use them for solids. The very same kalim, this clay halach, could be used today for wine, for the nisach hayayin, and later in the afternoon or tomorrow for a mincha. They had multi-purpose. Very good.
What were they made out of?
They're typically made out of gold or silver. Says the Mishnah, Klei halach, mekadshin es halach. You're starting off with the wine. The wine until now was just plain regular wine in your bottle, in your cask, and you want to go and transform it from chulin into something kodosh, which is going to be poured on top of the mizbeach, into the shitin. So you have klei halach, mekadshin es halach, go and pour it into those kelim, the klei shoris, which were intended for liquids, and that will be mekadosh the liquid, and this liquid from this point on is roi for the mizbeach. Don't be moil in it, as Brother Barry pointed out before. Don't take it out of the Beis HaMikdash, otherwise it's going to become posel biyotze. It becomes fully, fully infused with all the kedusha by putting it into that klei shoris. Midos yovesh, why doesn't it say klei hayovesh? It says Rashi, because there were no klei hayovesh. Anything that was yovesh, such as a carbon mincha, you didn't put into a kli yovesh, but you put it into the kli lach, because the kli lach was multi-purpose. Why did they call it kli lach if you're using it for both? Presumably because there were more liquids that we use on a regular basis. After all, if you're using it for the dam was, this kli was used 100 times a day, 1,000 times a day, depending on how many kabbonis, and the same thing for the yayin, for pouring the wine, and etc. Masha Enkein, the only time typically you had a yovesh was the mincha. You may not have had a mincha on a daily basis, and if you had it once a day, twice a day. It wasn't the same thing as kli halach, which you're using constantly. So the kli halach were used not only for lach, but also mekadosh es hayovesh, and the midas yovesh mekadosh es hayovesh. Again, the midas yovesh, there are only two of them. That's isorin and the chatzi isorin. If you put the flour into those midos also infused the flour with kedusha. Now the Mishnah continues: Ein kli halach mekadosh es hayovesh. The kli halach is not mekadosh the yovesh. This is, on the surface, this is what we might call a little bit misleading, because a kli lach is mekadosh the yovesh, and the Gemara is going to tell us what we really mean is the midos halach. The midos halach, those seven that we enumerated earlier, the hin and the chatziah, hin and shlishis hin, if you put yovesh in there, yovesh has no business being in there, because this is used strictly for measuring. What are you measuring? Liquids. Why would you go and put in a half yisorin or yisorin of mincha to go measure if all the notches on the side, if there were notches, what do they indicate? The liquid measure and not a solid measure. So therefore, yovesh is inappropriate, and therefore the ein kli halach means ein midos halach mekadesh es yovesh, v'le yovesh mekadesh es halach. And the same thing is if you have those measuring cups that you use for the yovesh, for the yisorin, the chatzi yisorin, that would not be mekadesh halach any liquid that was placed or that was poured into it. Now, that was all fascinating, and now we talk about the structure and the stability of these, the integrity of these kelim. Kli HaKodesh Nikvu. Oy, oy, oy. What happens if a Kli HaKodesh has been used now for the last 5 years, 10 years, and it developed a loch, a little hole? Im oisin behen me'ein melachtem shoyo oisin. Vehen shleimim. If you can continue using this Kli HaKodesh, even though it has a hole, but apparently the hole is so small that it doesn't shter, it doesn't interfere with the malacha, with the avoida that you're doing with this kli. Behain, as the words go together. If nikvu, im oisin behen me'ein malachtim, it's still able to be utilized for the same malacha, shoyo oisin, when they were still shleimim, then mekachim, then it's good. However, if the hole has gotten so big that you can no longer use it, then a mekachim, if you were to go and pour in either the liquid or the solid, no longer infuses the contents with any kedusha. What do you do with that kli? We'll discuss that further on in the Yomit. And finally, v'kulan emekachin el b'kodesh. The only time these kli shoris work to infuse either a solid or a liquid, which is their contents, to make them kodesh, that's only if it's inside the azara. If you took the kli shoris out for a few minutes to the Ezra's Noshim, for instance, which would be on the Shar Nikanor, or you put it onto the Harabayas, and you put in as many liquids and as many solids, and you made a whole dance, and you said, oh, this should be Kodesh, a Mekachel Mekodesh, it has to be within the Azara, not when it's outside the Azara. Okay, on the Mar. Amishmu, Loishonu, Elamidois, of Mizrakois Mekachem. What is Shmuel referring to? He's referring to the second halacha of the Mishnah on the second line, that ein klei halach mekadeshes es hayovesh, that a klei halach cannot be mekadesh yovesh like a mincha. So mishmo leishanu ela midois. Even though we're talking about klei halach, we really mean the midois halach. Those midois halach are the seven which Rashi enumerates that we spoke about before, the hin, chatziah hin, etc. So if you go and put mincha, which is a solid, and which you would not appropriately go and measure based on a hin, a chatziah hin, because those are all liquid measures. You wouldn't go, can't mix and match. So ein kli halach, the midois halach, are not mekadesh the yovesh, but a regular, not the midois are not, but the kli halach, those are mekadesh because they were multi-purpose. There were no such things as kli yovesh except for the midois yovesh. For the yovesh mekadesh halach, the same thing applies to the midos hayovish and not mekadesh salach. There were in fact no clay yovish which were dedicated only for yovish. The yovish typically used the clay halach. Now clay hakodesh. Back into in the mark. Shmuel leishon al midos aval mizrakos mekachim. So said Shmuel, it's only the midos. The midos halach are not mekadesh. That's what we said on the second line. Ain clay halach mekadesh hayovish means the midos halach, but your mizrak is mekadesh. Mizrak being, for instance, you usually use the mizrak in connection with the collection of the blood at the time of the shechita, but it doesn't have to be. You can use that mizrak for collecting wine for purposes of nisach hayayin. And it could be that the word mizrak is a broader term and doesn't mean only a basin or only a vessel. It could all mean, you could have perhaps that a mizrak is similar to kli, that even a pitcher might be called a mizrak. But it doesn't make a difference. The point is, it's just the midos which are not mekadesh, but your regular mizrak, your regular clay halach, are mekadesh yovesh after all. So even though the lashon Mishnah is ein kli halach mekadesh es hayovesh, says the Gemara, says Shmuel, that's not really true. A clay halach is mekadesh the yovesh. It's the midos halach which are not mekadesh the yovesh. Now, how do I know that kli halach are mekadesh? And then it says in the pasuk, is a pasuk towards the end of Parshas Nosoi, where we have the laning of the 12 nesiim that brought kabbanis every day. In fact, we're going to start laning that in Miyachim next week, every day of Chanukah. So it says, among the things that the nesiim donated to the Mishkan, it says in the pasuk, Torah Ora Shalom number 1 here on the left hand side, the Korbonai Karas Kesef Achas Shloishim Umeya Mishkola Mizrok Echad Kesef Shivim Shekel Shekel Kodesh Shnei Malayim Soiles Belulav Hashem in the Mincha. Okay, so what does all that mean? The Korbonai over here doesn't mean a Korban like on the Mizbeach. Korbonai means his present that he donated to the Mishkan. What was that? Number 1, a kara. Kara is kesef achas. Kara doesn't mean like the kara that we have with the matzahs on Seder night. Kara really means a large bowl. And this bowl was made out of kesef, out of silver. Achas, he gave one of them. Shloish v'meir mishkol, the weight was 130 in its mishkol. Mizrak, and that was number one kara. And number two, a mizrak. Oh, a mizrak is like the mizrakei ha-dam that we spoke about. Uchzol mizrak echad, kesef, made out of silver. Shivim shekel b'shal ha-kodesh. The other one was 130, this is 70. Shneim aleim soilis. It didn't just go and bring them empty. Each Nasi, when they donated that Karas Kesef and the Mizra Kesef, it was full of Soles Lemincha for a Mincha. What is Soles doing in a Ka'ora or a Mizrak which sound like Kalei Halach? Says Shmuel, because Kalei Halach are Mekadesh the Yavesh. It said in the Mishnah, the ain't Kalei Halach Mekadesh is a Yavesh. That's the Midois. Those are the seven measuring cups. Yeah, those are not Mekadesh. The Yavish. Yavish is no business being put into a measuring cup for liquids. However, if you're talking about the standard regular kelim that are used on a regular basis for the lach, those are Mekadesh and say Yavish as well. That's why the Ka'ara and the Mizrak, which I think of as Klei Lach, oh, they filled it up with Mincha to tell you that's how they infused it with that Kedushas Mincha.
And to work with Kli Yavish, there are no Kli Yavish, right, except for those.
Only two.
So
the measuring.
Those are only for Midos. So you're not going to have a case where you're going to have a Lach in a Kli Mida. And a
Midas Yavish.
Yeah.
If you're doing it properly, somebody might make a mistake. But you're right, in normal circumstances, you would not pour a liquid into the Midas Yavish, and you would not go and pour a Mincha into the Midas Halach. And that's why each one of them would not be Mekadesh the other type. The liquid measure would not be Mekadesh the solid, and the solid measure would not be Mekadesh the liquid. However, what Shmuel is telling us is, even though the Mishnah sounds like that, even the Klei Halach, which are not measuring cups, just as regular Mizrakos, that they're not Mekadesh the Yavesh, that's wrong. Yeah. The Klei Halach are Mekadesh the Yavesh. What is not Mekadesh are the Midos Halach. Why did Rebbe write it the way he did? I don't know, but that's the pshat according to Shmuel.
When using things like flour, it's poured. It acts like a liquid. It's poured for purposes of taruvos. It's poured.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't the midas halach be used with flour? I mean, I'm not saying if you put in a piece of meat or something, you know, or something else, but. Flour is poured, and very often in kashrus, it's treated like a liquid. If flour becomes mixed up with some other substance,
sure.
So why isn't flour being used as measured? Because if you have a measuring cup, you pour in some flour, you measure how much it is in terms of volume.
Mm-hmm.
You don't measure in terms of, I don't know what Isaron is also, I guess, a volume measure.
Absolutely.
But you know, like, if it's a, you know, if it's a three-quart, between this line and that line in the lach, it's effectively in a saron, or it's close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't midos be used? I'm just wondering. It is used practically. So why isn't it being used in the Beis Hamikdash?
On a very very practical level, as you're saying, let's talk about, for instance, on eating something which is a dover osur, or where there's a mitzvah to go and eat something. Typical, if it's a solid, it would be a shir kazayis. If it's a liquid, it's a shir avias. Now, Kazayis Revias might be very, very close to one another.
Yes.
But makes no difference. If I wanted to measure out a Kazayis, I would put it into a Yavesh, where you have a half a Kazayis, a third of Kazayis, and a Gamsa Kazayis, two Kazayis. And if I wanted to measure out a liquid, I would go and put it into a bottle or a measuring cup that has in it 1 ounce, 5 ounces, 10 ounces, whatever, and adds up to a Revias or whatever the shear is. So not that you couldn't. I mean, if you were desperate and you had nothing else, right. Yeah, you would use it.
Right, but for instance, we have the idea of Achilas Dam.
Yeah.
Achilas Dam is bekazayas because that's the amount of dam when it congeals, it becomes a kazayas.
Okay.
They're so related. In certain areas of halacha, we see they're related and they're interchangeable. If they're saying the same English, no, they're the midos.
Because the Torah gives you this has to be an isar and this has to be a hin.
Okay.
So you want to go and measure it, it should be exact.
As per it's prescribed.
Exactly. Omalei Rabach Midivka Ravina. So Rav Achman Medifti said to Ravina that Shmuel's drush is very, very nice, the Shnei Maleim Soilis, but if he's trying to bring a raya that you can use a midas halach, not a midas halach, a klei halach, to be mekadesh, a yovesh. The truth of the matter is, mincha is really not such a yovesh. Why is it not a yovesh? Because the mincha that we were talking about in this pasuk, shnei maleim soles, belula vashemen lemincha. So it's not a total yovesh. It's a mincha lachi. It's already moist because it has the shemen mixed in with it. So how can you bring a riot that something which is totally yovesh, for instance, I'm bringing brand new flour where there is no oil mixed in with it yet, and I put it into that klei halach, that it's mekadesh it? I don't have a riot from the posik. The posik is talking about things which are either full-fledged liquids or things which are liquidy, that they're moist, because I mixed in the shemen with the mincha. It's a mincha lachi. So he answered him two answers. What does it mean, liyovish sheba? Says Rashi, no matter how well you go and mix flour together with the shemen, it's never going to be fully blended, unless, of course, you have a bash mixture, or you have one of these other newfangled notions, these fancy electronic or electric blenders. You put it in and it mixes it beautifully. Kibali. But if you're talking about human methods, that a person is mixing and mixing and mixing the flour, they can go on for 24 hours and it might not fully be blended. There might still be a little pocket of dry flour here and a little pocket of dry flour there.
Kibrux.
Okay. And there, I wouldn't go and say that only 80%, 90% of the mincha has been niskadish, but that other part, which is yovesh, that's why he's telling you that every mincha belula b'shemen, by definition, has yovesh parts to it. So that's the yovesh that you're putting into the kli halach, and it becomes niskadish. Or another term, where you say, mincha legabe dam ki yovesh dam. When I use the term yovesh, I'm using it somewhat loosely. Avadi, you're right, the typical mincha has in it the lachas of the shemen, but even with that shemen, compared to a liquid, it's still dry. If you are buying a dry commodity, you wouldn't say that the mincha, oh, that's a liquid commodity, that's dry. Okay, there's a little shemen in it for sure, it's moist, but it's not a liquid. So therefore, relative to referring to the dam and the yayin and the shemen as being liquids, he calls the mincha, he calls it a solid yovish. But lav dafka. Now Shmuel adds another couple of rules and regulations regarding the klesharis. Klesharis in mekachin ela shleiman. Shleiman means, like we had in the Mishnah, it's got to be without a hole. If it has a hole and it's no longer the same utility, no good, it's not mekadesh. A mekachin el malein, only when they're full. Now Rashi points out, and this will be important for the next Shtikl Gemara, full doesn't mean that you fill it to the brim, to the top. It means that you put into the kli the total amount, the full shear of what you need for your purposes. For instance, if you're talking about the midas hayyovesh, in which you're pouring in for a mincha, make sure you have a full isarai. If you only pour into the kli 0.8 of an isarai, or 0.9, or even 0.99 of an isarai, but if it doesn't hit that top, presumably there was a notch on the side showing exactly where the isarin ends, and it didn't reach that, it was just a half an inch below. Sorry, it's not mekadesh. It's got to be mole to the shear of what you need for that particular carbon. We're going to talk about this further in a moment. Ein mekadesh el mitoichen, and you can only mekadesh it in its insides. Now, it's not clear what mitoichen means, but the Gemara assumes at this time that mitoichen means inside the azara. Like we said already before, the kulin ein mekadeshin el bakoidish, inside the azara, and it's got to be toich the azara and not outside the azara. I know you're all upset. Don't be upset. I'm only going to address your question in a moment. The Amrila, however, there was another version of Shmuel, ein mekadeshin el shleiman. Same thing again. It's got to be a kli which is shalim, no holds. Maleim, the full shear. Umi mifnim. Mifnim means presumably inside the azara. So frey tamar my benayu. Here you said mitoichet. Here is mi bifnim. Aren't these terms synonymous? So Tamar, no. Ikke benayu berutze midais. Mitoichen doesn't mean toich of the azara. Toichen means the toich of the kli. Meaning that if, for instance, if you filled up this kli with more than an isarin, and it's heaping, like you have a heaping teaspoonful or a heaping tablespoonful, you can have heaping on the top of the mida, sticking out, coming up like a pyramid, or coming out to a point, like a tower. Whatever is not inside the kli itself, does that have a din of kedusha or not? Oh, that's the machlokes. According to the second version, where we said it's got to be bibifnim. Bibifnim means in the pnim of the azara. And therefore, even if you went beyond the midah, and now it's more than your side, say, sar and a half, two isra'im, and it's sticking up on top, no problem. That's sticking out is in the azara, it becomes the skadish. The mitoicha means the toich of the kli, and therefore if it's coming up above the top of the kli, above the rim, that already is not in the skadish because it's got to be in the toich of the kli. Just to go and show that that's a real difference, b'masi satana, we have a brisa that in fact encapsulates two. This would be the tevle keruv mendi shikul toira like rapapa. The emakachin elish leimim umleyin. You have to have all four requirements. Sholem, it doesn't have a hole. Malayim, the full shear of whatever the carbon is. Mitoichen, inside the clean, not the berutzim. Midois, ubevnim, inside the azara, all four requirements. Om Rabasi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, loishanu, that we said on the Malayim, that if you didn't have the full isaron, you only had 0.99 or 0.9 of the isaron. We said it doesn't get kedusha, loishanu, loishain dat al hoisif. When we ask him, hey, did you have any more flour? No. Do you intend bringing any more flour? No. He just brought a 0.9 of his son. We tell him it's not niskadish with the kedushas mincha, and therefore you can extract it, extricate it from the kli, take it outside. It will not become posel biyotze. It doesn't get a din of me'ila. It's not niskadish to be brought for a carbon because it's not mole. It's not mole. Avodat alohoisif. However, if he poured in the 0.9, and we said, where's the rest? Oy, 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 I forgot. You know, my wife is making some new flour. I'm going to bring it back. Yeah, just wait for me. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Then the Rishon Shleimim, Dam said Rishon Kodesh. Then, even though what you've put in initially is not the full share, but that's okay. As long as the intention is to be Mamali, to fill up the entire share, so even at the beginning, all to the Kodesh. Tana Mihochi Takav Afeisha Braisa on point. Malayin Ein Malayin Elish Shleimim. Like we said before, an Isorin Sholem, or a Hin Shleim, or the Chatzia Hin Sholem. On Rabbi Yosei Mosheim is Manshein Datel Hoisif. Of Datel Hoisif, Rishon Rishon, Kodesh, even though he didn't bring in a full shear initially, but if his Das is to bring it, we're okay. And it's Mekadesh after all. Ein Kli Halach Mekadesh. Okay, so we spoke about back in the Mishnah that the Kli Halach is not Mekadesh as a Yovesh. So Parshat Pshat is, you had the Yovesh inside the Midois Halach, right? We're not talking a regular, there were no Kli Yovesh except for the Midois Yovesh. So we say, Ein Kli Halach Mekadesh Es Yovesh, you remember Shmuel said at the outset, Leishonu El Midois. So the Midois Halach, if you poured into it Mincha, solids, Gunish Mit Gunish, it's not Mekadesh. Omer Ravi, Sim Ravasi, not so fast. Ein Mekadesh El Likarev, it doesn't get a Kedusha to be put it on the Mizbeach. In other words, so that after that, the Kohen would put his three fingers in and take a kmitza. And it's still chulin because it's inside the midos halach. Av mekachem li posel. It does get kedusha to become posel. What means kedusha to become posel? That were you now to go and take that mincha and take it outside of the base of Midrash, it would become posel bi yotze. Rashi adds that, for instance, what happens if you have a person who is a tvilyoim. We all know Tvilyoim means that he was Tamei until a few minutes ago. He went into the mikveh, and now he's waiting for Herev Shemesh. A Tvilyoim is not Mitamei Chulin, but a Tvilyoim is Mitamei Kodshim. Says our Gemara, it has that Kedushas Kodshim to be susceptible to receive and become Tuma, become Tamei from a Tvilyoim. So therefore, if you will, it's Tartel Reyesa. In other words, this Kli, unfortunately, doesn't do anything positive to Mekadesh at Likarev. I can't put on the Mizbeach, it's still Shtik Chulin, and you can't bring even Chulin into the Azar. So the Val, it has no Kedusha Likarev, but it does have Kedusha, it's Ven Kaliyah, to go and become ruined by Yoitze, by Tumah, etc., etc. Ikemas Nilahab, others said this same word of Rav, the same Ravasi, on the following Braisim. What does it say in the Braisim? Ein Mevim Menochis, Unisachim, Minchas Behema, Ubikurim. The term Minchas Behema is an unusual term. What he really means is a Minchas Nisachim, that you're bringing together with a Behema, together with an Oile, together with a Shlomim, you bring a Minchas Nisachim. So, you have Menachis, which are independent, just I bring my carbon Mincha. I have Nisachim, which I would Menadiv, also independent. Or Nisachim, that you bring together with an Oile or a Shlomim. The Minchas Behema is the Mincha which you bring together as part of the Minchas Nisachim together with the Behema. The difference between Menachis and Minchas Nisachim is that a mincha, you have to do a kmitza on the mizbeach, and the rest is shirayim, is nechal kahanim, while the mincha sesochim is kula kol, just like a minchas koyin. You don't even take a kmitza, you just put it on the mizbeach. As well as bikurim, we know you bring bikurim shavuos time. All of that, don't bring mina meduma. Meduma means an article or a liquid that is a potential suffix of truma or of chulin. I'm not sure. Meduma usually means that there's a mixture, so it might have gotten mixed in some truma into chulin, and if it got mixed in, there may or may not have been enough of a shear to mevatel it. What's a shear bittel by truma?
By 100
times. 100 times, so maybe there is 100 times, maybe there isn't, I really don't know. Don't bring those. Main tzarech loy, men for sure do not bring me orla ukloy haker. Now what's the reason why you cannot bring minha meduma? Says Rashi, because since it's meduma, the only one that can go and eat it is kohanim. A regular zor cannot eat it because maybe this is real bona fide truma, or at least the shear is a shear truma. So the only one that can eat it is a kohen. And we know there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says mimashke Yisrael, and the more dash mimashke Yisrael mina mutli Yisrael. You can only bring a korban from something which can be eaten, other than because of the kedushas korban, it could be eaten by anybody in Klai Yisrael. Obviously, by every korban mincha after you do the kmitza, then the shiore mincha is anyway not eaten by Yisraelim, it's only eaten by kehanim. But we mean to say at the outset, something that can be eaten by anybody. And if this is meduma, a Yisrael or a Levi couldn't eat from it, disqualify, don't aim at thee, and don't bring a mincha and a sachem from a potential truma, and for sure, orl and kohakim, because nobody can eat from that, not even a kohen. Vim heavy, and if you did bring any of these aforementioned, like Yiddish, it does not become discavish, even though you put it into klisharis, nothing happened, it's totally ineffective. Punished. Omer Rabbi Simer Ravasi, that same member that we had before, like Kodesh Li Karev, 100%, if you put in meduma, possible truma, or olin klo yakem, you're going to put it into these kalim, gunish, nothing happened, it does not get infused with a kedusha to be brought for a carbon. Av kodesh be possible, it can become possible. So if you take it out now, it becomes possible be yotzei, and therefore it's a carbon possible. Till now, the meduma could be eaten by a kohen. Now the kohen can't eat it anymore because now it's a possible carbon, etc. Although the Braisa also used the term bikurim, Rashi points out, we don't mean that you put bikurim into a kli, because a bikurim doesn't put into kli, you just vinachta, you put it on the floor of the azar, in front, in the tenna, exactly, on the floor in front of the mizbech. See, that's, the first part is correct, that don't bring bikurim and meduma, if you're not sure where these bikurim might have been partially truma, don't bring it. But the halacha of Rabbi Sim Rav Asi, that talking about putting it into a kli, does yonis kaddish, nisis kaddish, bikurim has no business being put into a kli. You're not measuring and you're not serving in the kli. You bring it in that initial tenna, as you said, and you put it on the floor of the azara, and then you say a whole tefillah, and then after that, you go and hand it over to the kahanim, and then the kahanim could go and eat from it. Okay, Tana Rabban. Now let's talk about, and back in the Mishnah, we talk about the clay kodesh that God holds. Zok Tigmara, Zok Tibraisa, clay kodesh, Nikvo, e matichan, oisan, ve matichan, le toichan, avar, Nifkemu, e mesaklan, oisan, Sakin, she nifkam, e mashchizen, espigi, mosa, Nishmeta, e machzirin, oisa. What are all of these halachas? So Rashi tells us, we'll see this from Yetchim in the Amid Beis, that there's a rule, ein anius pemokim ashirus. You're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is the abode on this world, so to speak, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'yaraisa, etc., the Heilig B'Shef, and the Rabbeinu Shalom. That being the case, he's certainly no less than the Yechvais, any beautiful castle or beautiful palace that belongs to an ordinary Bas V'Dom king. And a Bas V'Dom king, if something gets ruined, they're not going to go and put a band-aid on it. They're either going to do a full job of repairing it so that it should not be noticeable, or they're going to replace it with something else. So if you have a clay kodesh shenikvu, how would you normally go and take care of a metal kli, which is clay chol? It develops a hole. You don't want to go and sell it. You don't want to go and melt it all down. Sorry?
Put lead.
You put in lead. Oh, so that's the second case over here. Ein matich letoichen avor. Avor is lead. Don't do that. Why? Because anybody that looks into the kli, see, the whole kli happens to be gold or silver, and then there's this lead patch on it on the bottom. It looks so unbecoming, and therefore, it's ein anius b'mokom ashirus. So that's the second case. The ein matichan ois in the first case is that there's another way of fixing a kli that has a hole in it, a metal kli. What you do is you take it close to a hot flame or in the furnace, the hot oven, where the bottom part starts melting, and what you quickly do is, then you push together the bottom parts right where the hole is, and try to fuse them and merge them and make it into one, so that you don't see the hole anymore. Obviously, that part is presumably going to be softer than the rest of the kli, because the rest of the kli, nothing happened to it. That part, we're now melting slightly the surrounding metal around where the hole is, to try to close that hole up. Don't do that. By kli koidish, kli sharis, ein matichan oisan, vin matichan oteichan avari, don't pin in the lead like you said. Nifkumu, if it gets damaged, falls on the floor and there's a dent in it, ein mesaklan oisan, you can't go and fix it. Rashi says, we're talking about where the tikkun is nikar, that you can go and see that there was a dent over here, they fixed it up, but it's really, you can still see that there's a problem. If you make a tikkun where it looks brand new, then that's okay. But if it looks like it doesn't brand new, it means that it only has normal wear and tear. However, if it, you can see that there's still that dent there, even though you were, did a great job in putting it back, and you banged it from 12 times from all different sides, if it's nicker, no good. Sakin shenivgam, sakin particularly, we're talking about the chalif that was used for shechting. As you know, if chalif that's used for shechting, if it has any pegima, you cannot use a serrated knife for purposes of shechita. It has to be a very, very sharp knife, but has no notches and niches. In fact, you have to go and check it with your fingernail and with the tongue, etc. Anyway, so sakin shenivgam that did get such a pegam, ein mashchizim pegimah, so don't even try to go and sharpen it to remove the pegam. Again, Rashi says only in a case where it's noticeable. If it's not noticeable, then it's okay. In other words, if you do such a good job that it looks like a fresh, brand new knife, then that's okay. But if you can tell that there was a pegam, and nishmeta, if it falls out, if the handle falls out of the keli, ein machzir noisa, don't put the handle back in, but go and do something so that it should not be noticeable, because ein anias makom hashiris. Avisholaymer sakin mitarefes hoisav mikdash. There was a very, very fine chalif that was very nice. Rashi says hoisav raka, was nice and soft, and I guess it was beautiful and great. However, because of its softness, that is, I guess it wasn't a thick, but it was a thin knife, it had the tendency of getting a pegam from time to time, and the kohanim said, forget about it. Sakin mitarefes hoisav. Mitarefes is a borrowed term. Metarefes means that it caused the animals to become treif, which is really not accurate. It causes them to become nisnabla, they become a nevela. Treif is when it has one of the 18 simone treifes. But that's how we speak colloquially too. We go and say, ah, it's treif, it's treif. It's not treif, could be it's a nevela. But that's the lotion of the Gemara. So sakim metarefes hoisim amigdish, venimnu alea kehanu veganzu, and the Chum said, no, this, we've too many times tried to fix it up, and each time it looks great, it looks wonderful, but it just, we can't keep on doing this on a daily basis. For Gonzua, they finally put in Geniza, we're not using it anymore. Now we're going from clay shares to big day kahuna. And this is a very, very straightforward Gemara.
Can you recycle them? Can you sell them as antiques or whatever?
No, not, maybe not, but we have a principle, Ein Anias Mak Mashiris, we also have a Torah's Machasim and Monash Yisrael. So to be wasteful with, especially if they're gold, I don't remember them being gold or silver, because of that. I thought maybe they're made out of brass, a lot of them.
Well, look at the original Roman times in the Mishkan. The Kabone Kar is Kesef Achaz, right, and right, then right. They talk about the Mizrak Echad Kesef, etc.
Right. Those might have been like special occasion, like the good in the vitrine, the good stuff. But like on a daily basis, to use, we had on and Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol, the pan he uses for the chafina inside the lefnim, it was instead of gold, as they mentioned, instead of gold, it's silver because HaTorah Mechasa Monash Yisrael.
Because it gets ruined by putting it in the cholim.
Right. So here also, I mean, if you're going to use these things frequently, they're going to get...
I think they were gold or silver, but I cannot tell you at the moment 100%. In Menachos, and towards the end of the Masechta, they have a lot of discussion about the physical nature and the number and the volume and all that. Mi'achem, that'll be next Masechta, we'll get to it shortly.
No, but the after the Chashmonaim, initially they were wood.
Right, to tin.
Exactly. Okay, and that's very Yonah Diyoyim, it's soon going to be Hanukkah, Mi'achem, another couple of days. Very good. Shkoyach. It's Tanabana. Migde Kuna in Uysen Uysen Mas Machat. Now, big tikkuna, we're talking about the begotten worn both by the kehanim and yoytim, the kehanim and gedoylim. Don't make them a masim machat. The one means a masim machat. So Rashi explains For those of you that are not familiar with the production of clothing, think in terms of the mushel, a talis cotton. Talis cotton, you have the front and you have the back. Most of our talis and katanim are all one piece. What happens if instead you had two sheets of either cotton or wool, whatever your talis cotton is made out of, and you had a nice sheet, which was a pretty long sheet, and you have one that you could put in your front and one you could put in the back, and now you want to go and sew it up at the top to connect the front with the back. So that would be good for talis cotton, but it's not good for the big de kahuna. Big de kahuna, when you make it initially, okay, so the big de kahuna, not necessarily would they like a talis cotton flapping in the wind, the front and the back. Even if you're talking about a full-fledged beged that you wear like a shirt, a t-shirt, whatever, so then you could still do it the same principle. Take your first piece of fabric in the front, piece of fabric in the back, and sew the, where you would put it on the shoulders, and sew it from the sides, so that they would, you know, get a seamstress, she makes a nice seam there, and it looks, oh, beautiful job, it fits so nicely, da da da. That's not the way you do it. What you have to do is you have to have it masi oireg, that it's weaved from the outset. So you bring it to the weaver, and you tell him or her, whoever is doing the weaving, that we need this size for this person, this individual, and the whole thing has to be woven, no stitching with a sewing with a needle. So, enois in the masa machin el masa oirek. Shenema, masa. Yes, please.
Please, for lack of knowledge, what's the difference between weaving and sewing? Sorry.
Okay, so let's go over it again. If you are, for instance, I assume that you wear a talis cotton every day. Baruch Hashem. Oh, okay.
High school, sometimes, but
no. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Hey, Bishop, hopefully you should continue wearing until 120.
That's why I had him askir
hayom. Okay, so let's not talk about that now. Let's get to our
last week's cedra.
So there are two ways that you can go and manufacture that talis cotton.
Next week.
There are two ways of going and being and making a talis cotton. The one way is like our typical talisim katanim that you buy in the store. You see that from one end to the other, from the front to the back, it's all one fabric. Nothing has been sewn together, two different pieces of yarn, two different fabric to produce a talis cotton. But theoretically, what you could do is go and buy, if you wanted to make your own talis cotton, you can go and buy two pieces of fabric, each one of them being 18 by 18 inches, 24 by 24 inches, and you have one for the front and one for the back. Oh, but it's going to fall down. So you have somebody go, your wife or a tailor or a seamstress, that's going to go and stitch it up on top to connect the front fabric with the back fabric, both on the right shoulder and on the left shoulder. Hey, presto, this is a beautiful talis cotton. That would be a masa machat. Masa oirig means that you tell whoever is manufacturing it, I want you to produce a talis cotton, and as all the talis and katanim that you buy typically today, they're not made out of two pieces of fabric which are sewn together, but from top to bottom, the whole thing is made totally woven in the weaving process from top to bottom, from beginning to end. But now, extending this one step further, you know, people don't just wear talis and katanim, they also wear, for instance, shirts, and those shirts typically, so now think of, for instance, assuming you have an undershirt which with the V or without the V opening, but those are usually just one beged. You could theoretically take your talis cotton as an example. You have a front piece of fabric and your back piece of fabric. They're both quite wide, and now bring it to the seamstress who's going to go and make a seam on the right and the left and connect them together again by sewing it. So now it's sewed up on the right and sewn on the left, and it fits very nicely and you're very proud of it. But most of our undershirts, for instance, are not made that way. You don't see that there are stitches down the middle on the right, on the left.
It's a tubular
needle. Weaving this, there's a weaving loom.
I understand one thing.
A weaving loom that you have.
Weaving is the chassis verev. Sewing is this.
I don't know if they did that. Right.
Weaving is this.
No, you didn't bother. It's fine. Anyway, so that's the difference between sewing the two pieces together.
In your example of a talis cotton, that is one piece of fabric, but a seamstress or someone stitches it on the sides to go. Is that a masa orek or masa machat?
If once you have the stitches on the side, that becomes a masa machat.
So even though it's basically was a masa orek, functional as a masa orek,
exactly.
Adding the machat, you change its classification.
Let's look at the Rashi. Three lines from the bottom of the Amid. Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Ain oisin a masa machat.
Right.
What's a masa machat? L'orgon k'min yiriyah. You first weave it like a yiriyah. Yiriyah would mean like a piece of fabric, like a curtain. V'lasoisin achichen. my good friend Reb Simcha Ilan. Please look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Rashi explains it much better than me. Ein oisin oisin masa machad leorgan, to weave them kemin yuria. Yuria is like a curtain. You have a curtain in front, a curtain in back. V'lasoisin achri chein levush tofur b'machad, and then after that you take the two curtains and you combine them. How? By sewing them at the top, for instance, at the shoulders with the masa machad, as well as on the sides of the masa machad. On the weaving loom, that's the order that you ask for. I don't want a curtain. I don't want a piece of nice piece of fabric that I'm going to put on the front or in the back. I want a full beged. Okay, you order it, and the weaver knows what to do and how to do it on the weaving loom. So that's the difference between the masa machad and the masa orig. Getting back to our Gemara now, what happens in this goalu? What happens? Unfortunately, it became very, very soiled. The word giol has a sense of it that it's really something that you want to reject because it's almost an abomination. It's repugnant. There's no way of cleaning it with a detergent. Nasr and oil, different types of detergents. The Gemara brings that off in a Maseches Nida in terms of taking out Nida stains. In the English, they say Nasr. In the art school, it said that's the same thing in English as niter, N-I-T-E-R. I have no idea what that is, but apparently it's a form of detergent. Here, for some reason, the art scroll doesn't translate ahol, it just says A-H-A-L, but elsewhere it says it's aloe, A-L-O-E, and many of our soaps today, you'll see on the bottom, it says contains aloe. Okay, so these are detergents. So don't go and clean the big day kahuna with this detergent, and don't. It's frey timura. So I'm making a diak. But are you supposed to use water without detergent? If anything, says Rashi, that's just going to make it, I wouldn't say it's going to make it worse, but it's certainly not going to help. You're talking about a stain that requires detergent because of Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiras. Don't use detergent. Only use water. The stain is not going to go out as well as if you had detergent, right? If go and take any of your clothing, put it into the washing machine, don't put in any detergent, just put in water, you'll see how it's going to look when it comes out. Yes, Reb Shlomo.
Yes, the neter, the natron, from what I'm reading, have some commentary in my work, my Gemara, usually from sodium carbonate.
Really, sodium carbonate, okay.
It comes from a clear crystal. You find it in the deserts and extracted from the ash of algae.
Oh, wow, that's really special. Anyway, bottom line is, don't use that for cleaning the clay shards. Not clay shards, the clay, the big day kahuna. Sigmar says, so are you suggesting, but you should use mayim instead? That's certainly not going to remove the stain. Now you have to make a slight emendation. Hugu b'mayim, if the total giol, this total stain, is the type of stain that could be removed with water. In other words, what we would say, it's nishgeferlich, it's not a terrible stain. You could just use water. Then you can add to it the detergent. However, hugel, the nasr ba'al, it is such a bad stain that there's no way of taking it out with water. You have to have the detergent. And then forget about it. Don't do kibbutz at all. This is lost. Don't use it. So you're wondering to yourself, what do you do with a klisharis that gets so soiled that you cannot go and wash it? So what do you do with it? So in Masechta Sukkah Mi'achem, we learned, and we will learn, that they used to go and take apart these clay, the big day kahuna, and make wicks out of it. Yeah, wicks like we're going to make next week. No, most people buy them already made in the oil already. But years ago, can you imagine, there was a period of time in Jewish history that people actually made wicks. Okay, so they made the wicks from they would tear apart the pieces of the big day kahuna, and they would make wicks. And, or it says Masechta Sukkah, that they used to use them for the bonfires, for the torches during the Shivas Yemei Mishnah, Shivas Yemei Melu, not Mishnah, but the Shivas Simchas Beis Sheva. Simchas Sheva, they made all these beautiful torches, and there was whoever was never there, Leiroa Simcha Miyamov, they used to make torches out of the worn out, and in this case, the soiled Big Dekuna. The Eish Aimrim. There's another view, Eim Chapsa Reis HaKalika, you don't even wash them at all. Zero. Don't even attempt to go and wash them. Why? Our president, if he had a stain on his tie or on his shirt or something, he would send it to the cleaners. Ah, he would say, this is left wingers that are trying to go and soil our country, and he would go and buy a brand new one, he would go and wear it proudly, etc., etc. The Lashon of the Gemara, Mechapsan Oisim Kalikar, sounds like That means any time a person, a kohen, has a drop of, presumably every single day there were kahanim that had drops of blood that came on their beged as a result of the zrikas adam, or when they're taking the evarim up to the top of the mizbeach on the kevish, presumably a little schmaltz, a little oil, a little fat would go and fall on his beged. So there's a sefer zevach toida, which is an achroin. The zevach toida says, our gemara al korchach is only talking about when they're really big, noticeable stains, not a little drop here, a little drop there, because otherwise, in the Dover Soif, every single day, you'd have to go manufacture another 100 big dekuna. So if it has a small little nothing, that you can remove. If it's a noticeable stain, that's already problematic.
Right, what was the distinction that we had? If it was done, if it came from the dam and nefesh, then it needed to be kibbutz in the Beit HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
But if it were, I think, other blood, not Dom Townsend, but if it were like from post that,
right?
I thought then it could be done cleaned outside. In other words, there's certain.
There are requirements that you have to do it inside the Azor, and some things outside the Azor.
Types of stains.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, Shkoya for reminding us of that.
Take it to the Chinaman.
Yes, man.
They discuss clay shoreis as nikvu.
Right. They
don't discuss clay with the kuna.
Right. Okay, so do you have a.
Same, I'm asking. The same discussion should be there, should be here also. Same, and he has the Mashiris?
You know, the same. All of this is because Hainim is Mashiris.
A hole in the beggar is
worse than clay shoreis.
Yeah, because a patch will be noticeable if you look.
Absolutely.
It looks shabby.
Mm hmm. And back on the Yomar Aleph, when we spoke about the Kalim, Rashi also said it there, Mishum de Mechsi Kanias, Velav Oirech Ara. You can't have, you see Rashi, four lines from the bottom.
By the
same thing, yeah. So even though the Gemara doesn't spell it out, presumably the same thing. Okay, now from here to the bottom of the Omid, the Gemara is going to discuss some of the big tekuna. This is very, very straightforward, very simple. Taner Rabban, Me'il. Me'il was a beggar that only the Kohen Gadol wore, which was very long, went down to the ground. And as you remember, the Pasuk says at the bottom of the Me'il, you had Rimoinim and Pamoinim.
Right.
Pamoin Zov Rimoin, Pamoin Zov Rimoin. Okay, so Gemara explains now a little bit about that. Me'il Kuloi Shel Techeles Hoyesh, Nema V'yasas Me'il O'Evoit Kalil Techeles, totally made out of Techeles wool, Techeles turquoise wool, otherwise a bluish, greenish type of wool, whatever, similar to the Techeles that people wear, are supposed to wear on their Talesim, among the tzitzis. Shulav, the bottom edge of the me'il is ketzat, maybe tcheles v'agom of telashani. These are three different types of colored wool. Shezurim, which are twisted together, twist them all together. The Gemara elsewhere says, I think Menachos, that each one was 8 ply, so you have 24 ply altogether. 8 of tcheles, 8 argom and telashani, 24 shezurim, nicely twisted. V'oisa oisan kemin rimoinim, at that bottom, go and make them into small balls, like a rimoin, like a pomegranate, shalei pischu pien, where it did not open up. So Rashi explains that if you leave rimoinim on the tree long enough, they're going to start opening up, and you'll be able to see the inside of the rimoin. So cut the rimoin before it ripens, and then before it opens up, then it becomes, it's a solid, like a solid hard ball or something like that, or a soft ball. So here too, you go and make it into a full ball. There's nothing, there's no crevice, no openings to it. It's from all sides, it's closed. Rashi has a whole explanation, which I found difficult to follow, but apparently it has a cone-like shape, which you put over a helmet on children that are fighting in some sort of childish war or quarrel that they have. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi, ukemin kinois, first sounds like buttons. Asuyin kemin tik shel nechoishes, like some sort of compartment made out of nechoishes, out of copper. Shoisin besoiv beis yad haroimach, that you put at the end of a handle for a spear. Shekoirin aristyle, that's the name. Loshoin umishkol Kinoi, the Yishbi Benoi. The Yishbi Benoi was a brother of Goliath,
right.
And it had the weight of the Kinoi. Again, I guess it's like a can of some sort, maybe a rod. They would go and hang it from their hats, which were Netzarim. Netzarim means like a wicker, worked like a wicker basket. So their hats were made of such wicker material. When they're having a brawl between the kids, Shikarin Hilmish, which might be same of the word helmet, exactly. And Kenosa is Barashi Tenoikis Loshin Vekalsa de Nachsha al Reshe, such a helmet made out of Nechoishis, out of copper on their heads. So there was some sort of this pomegranate that we're thinking of, this remind, it wasn't just a simple little ball, but had a, it looked similar to a cone-like thing or a button-like thing that they would put on top of the helmets when the children were fighting one with the other. So whatever that was the shape of the remoinim on the bottom of the me'il. Umevi, and now you bring shivin ushnaim zogin, 72 bells, shebehen shivin ushnaim invalim, that had in them 72 clappers. Clappers is the one that makes the noise inside a bell. V'toyle behen shloish v'shisha b'tzad zeh, ushloish v'shisha b'tzad mitzad zeh. And you put 36 in the front and 36 in the back, hanging from them ill, a total of 72. There were only 36. Shemoina osu mitzadzeh, 18 in the front, shemoina osu mitzadzeh, and 18 in the back. Now, there's an important diuk over here. Our Gemara says, v'toyle behen shloisha v'shisha b'tzadzeh. Now, what's behen? Behen means on them. Now, if you're talking about putting it on the bottom of the Me'il, me'il is a single thing, it should say v'tole bo. And in fact, in my Gemara, there's a hey, and that hey takes us to the shunis chayser, is in fact another shunis nusach, boy. And he brings v'nashita mekubetzes. So what's the difference between behem and boy? There's a machlokes between Rashi and other Rishonim, exactly what the pamein zov rimoin is. The way most of us envision it is because we have seen pictures of it from these Mishkan books and these clay Beit Kahuna books, and they show that they were on the shulaim, on the bottom of these me'ilim, that they would have a rimoin, and then a pamoin, and then a rimoin, and a pamoin, and a rimoin, and a pamoin. 18 altogether, 36 altogether in the front and the back, depending on which shita you hold. So you had lots of these bells, and in between each bell, you had a rimoin, a wool, which looked like this ball, looking like the children's things on top of the helmets, etc. That's the one way of learning. That's how Rashi learns, and that's how people normally conceive of it. However, there are other Rishonim that say no, that inside the Rimoin, they put a Pa'amoin. That, not that there was a Pa'amoin in between the Rimoin, but rather in the Rimoin itself, this nice wool ball. It wasn't hollow, but they filled it with a bell and a clapper inside it, and that would be the other girsa, v'toylem hen. Behen is referring to the rimoinim. They would go and hang within the rimoinim these 36 or these 72 bells that we just spoke about. So pam zov rimoin, pam zov rimoin, then has two interpretations. Pamin and then a rimoin, or pam zov rimoin, the pamin was embedded inside the rimoin. So it's a machloikis, how you learn pshat in the pasuk. Getting back to our Gemara, so now we have a very interesting name. I don't recall seeing this name elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Inini, or maybe it's Inyone Bar Sosoin. K'machloikis kan, k'machloikis b'maris negoyim. It's interesting, when it comes to Maris negoyim, you have the same machloikis of the 36 or the 72. That none. Maris negoyim, Reb Doisa ben Horkenes. Here it says Reb Doisa ben Horkenes. By the way, we had Reb Doisa before, presumably the same Reb Doisa ben Horkenes. Oimer Lamed Vav, that there were 36 different Maris negoyim. Akadim min alal, Oimer Shim Ushnaim, 72 different shades of Maris negoyim. The Gemara on the surface, number one, you have to understand, what does one thing have to do with the other? Try to find something else, you know. Why don't we have another Gemara that says, Ulam and Vav Tzadikim, and that Shiv Mishnayim, that the word 72, number 72, is the minion of Chesed, and therefore a person, when he's donating money, he should go and give 72, because it's four times Chai, and two times 36, two times Ulam and Vav Tzadikim, you know. What's the connection between one and the other? Zok the Toysis at the top is a big connection between the two. We're going to see in the Gemara shortly that each one of the Big Dekahuna was Mechaper, and the Me'il was Mechaper and Lashon Hara. And we know that one of the reasons why a person gets a Marin Nega is because he's Moitzira. That's why he's called the Metzoyer, he's Moitzira, he says Lashon Hara. Oh, Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Gzeir Shava, 3672, that's the top choices. Pir Shabane Tam, the Toli Hai Bahai, why does he bring the two together? Mishem the Me'il, Mechaper, Lashon Hara. So therefore it has a nice connection. But then we have another issue, and that is beginning of Masechta Shavuos and beginning of Shabbos, where the Gemara says Shtayim Shein Arba, it says Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, and Maris Negoyim Shtayim Shein Arba. And you remember all the different four different shades of the Kisheleg and say, yeah, all those other. Exactly. So now the question is, how does four grow into 72? So Toises asks that a kasha, second Toises. Shimshal Lipaligatana Masis and Meshwuyas at nine Shtaim Shein Arba. Tosim Maribin Goyim Levonim. That's talking about four different shades of white. So you have more intense white, you have a lighter white, an off white. Vachamar Bachomin in the Goyim, Yirakrak, Yadamdam, Psuchim, Vieshlohis avoid Nigibatim, Nigibagodim. So if you add them all up together, you get to 36 or to 72. So Toises asks in the form of a kasha with the teret. Rashi just says it poshit as the Poshup Shot. If you look at Rashi, Maris Negoyim, a little bit past halfway down, Maris Negoyim, Letamim Bepsuchim, Shalavan Adamdom, Lovenim Shal Nisker Roish, Bezokin, Negibatim, Begodim. So it's the same as the Toises. He doesn't ask it as Akasha, but he gives the same shot. How do you get to 72 altogether? You add everything together. Okay, back to Agmar. Nini Bar Susan, the same individual, he says, Lomon Nisuchah Parshas, Karbonis and Parshas, Big Tikkun. If you open up the Chumash and Parshas Tzav, you'll see at the beginning of Parshas Tzav talks about the Teres Achatis, the Teres Oshem, Teres Hashlomim, and Teres Oyla, etc. And then all of a sudden we start talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Kachas Aaron, this big day, Begonav, this big day, Vonav, and they enumerate all of the big day kahuna. What's the smichas of the two parshas together? Loimelach. Ma karbon is mechaper, just like every karbon is mechaper on something, a big day kahuna, ultz mechaper. The ksoinis that we didn't speak about yet. Right. We're going to talk about it now. Ksoinis mechaperes v'shvichas av. Ksoinis was worn even by the Kanim Hedyoitim. It was also worn by the Kohen Gadol. But the Ksoinis is, even a Kohen Hedyot, it's mechaperes v'shvichas av, shenemar, this is this week's parsha. V'yishchatu seir izam v'yitpilu es haku toines ba'dom. That after they threw Yosef into the bar, they took him out of the bar, and then they took his ksoinis pasim, they dipped him into the dam, and they sent it back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu should say that Nebuch, that Yosef passed away, etc., etc. Anyway, so that ksoinis is merames on the inyan of shvichas dam, and therefore the koyin, when he wears his ksoinis, it's mechaper al shvichas dam. We'll talk about that more on the bottom of the Amid. Stay tuned. He was ksoinis b'dam. Michnasayim, they wore a form of pants, not a full pants, it's more like a knickerbockers, in other words, more like shorts that they would wear. You couldn't see them because, of course, they were like underwear, they were underneath the ksoinis. But nevertheless, why mechnasayim b'chapes al gili aroyish and emar v'asei lehem mechnasayim v'od lechaseis psar erva. You see, mechnasayim has a relationship to erva. Mitznefes, that's the hat that they wore, mechapes al gasi haruach. Gasiru, people are pompous and arrogant. Minayin omer b'chanina. Yobi dobi shebegoiva v'yichaper al goiva. Put something which is high up there on the person's head. That's the hat. M'chaper on those which are very high-headed, who are very pompous and arrogant. I can't think of anybody, but somebody in Washington maybe. Anyway, continue on the Gemara. Avnate means a gartel. A gartel is a belt. M'chaper al hir halef. On a person having bad thoughts. Why? Heichad isa, where it stands on the body. So what it means where it stands on the body. So we had earlier on in our Masechta that the Avnet was put on the body, not where you normally wear your belt, which is usually at the waist, which is often, depending on how obese the individual is, it's usually underneath that fold in the belly, because that fold always contains in it a lot of perspiration. And it says in the Pasuk, and the Gemara back on Daf Yutes learn from that the word Yoza comes from the word Zeya. So don't put a Chagora, don't put a belt where there is a lot of perspiration. So where do they put it? They put it higher up where the elbows are on the body, and that's more or less parallel to where the heart is on the body. So that's the reason why the Gemara says, that's Mechaper and Huri Alev. That's Heichad Isa. That's where the belt is on the body, and that's why it's Mechaper on that part.
We're wearing gartels up
there then. Because the reason for a gartel is not because of Liachra B'yoza. The reason is because he koin likras alikecha Yisrael. You're supposed to make a chona for the Rabbi Nishloilim. In addition to that, you want to have a hefsik between the lave and the erva. So in fact, you want it to be a little bit further down, because the lave is where you have the avoidus lave. You have the so-called hirhurim that you think about the tefillah, and you have the kavana that's in the lave. The same with beinu bina, and underneath that you have the erva. So you want to have something mafsik between the two. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, choishin is mechaper aladinim. I'm sorry.
This was
the kohanim.
I mean, this was
the kohanim.
They wore all the way up above.
They wore it on the chest level, below the chest, and top of the stomach. If you stand up, wherever your elbows end, that's where the gartel was put on the body.
Okay.
Getting back to our Gemara, the sisa choishin mishpat. Choishin. What's the reason why the kohen gadol wore a choishin mechaper ladinim? If there was any injustice. performed by any justices, by any judges, so to mechaper on that, was his choshe mishpat. Oh, mishpat. Eifod is like a backwards apron, where the apron from the back. Mechaper al avodis chachom. What does it have to do with avodis zara? Shenemar, ein eifod usrafim. How do you learn ein eifod usrafim? So Rashi learns, Rashi himself doesn't seem to be so confident in the pshat. He says, kach shamati, that ein eifod, if there is no eifod, then there's trafim. Trafim we had already in last week, Sedra, right? That Rachel hid the trafim from her father, and the father got very angry about it. Agan Samaisa, so that trafim was avoided Zara. So if there's no eifod, there's trafim. But if there's an eifod, then there is no trafim. So you see, that's mechaper on the avoided Zara. Me'il mechaper lashon hara. That's what the Tosis said at the top, what we brought before. How is mechaper lashon hara? Minayin, Amr Pchanina, Yovid Dovish Shebekoil. The pamoinim down below make sounds. V'chapel koil hara, the sounds that are made when a person says lushan hara one triya. Tzitz is what the kohen gadol wore on his forehead. Mechaper al azaz panim and azaz panim. Oh, no shortage of azaz panim. That's mechaper. How do you know? But tzitz ksev. It says v'oyal meitzach haharoin. U'azaz panim ksev u'meitzach isha zoyna hayalach. So you see, meitzach come to tell you. Azaz panim.
What's the difference between that and Balgaiva we had earlier?
You can have a person who's pompous and not necessarily an azaz panim, and you can have azaz panim who's not necessarily a Balgaiva. There are different degrees of how a person's. Both of them are bad character, okay. Bad character traits. But here is a pompous, arrogant. I'm the king. The azaz panim means he just spits in the other guy's face, even if he doesn't consider himself to be royalty or aristocracy. He couldn't care less for anybody else. Okay. We don't find a kapara in karbanos, and presumably also in bidei kuhuna. So we have to start. Any, frankly, more any. Avakasha. We're maybe showing late. Shnei devarim leimitzin leim kapara bekabonis or in the bigdei kuna. Umetzin lekapara b'makam achem. But we do find the kapara elsewhere. Ve'eluhein shvichas damim v'lashon hara. Where do we find shvichas damim v'lashon hara elsewhere? Shvichas damim egla rufa. Kapar liyamchi Yisrael. Right, the case of chol ba'adama. You bring egla rufa. So that's mechapar and shvichas damim. But we don't find anything else mechapar shvichas damim. V'lashon hara make k'toyres. What's k'toyres? The Tani Reb Chananya. Rashi tells us in Parshas Koirach, after Koirach and Chaladosei fell into the ground, then the got very angry at Moshe Aharon, you're killing half of Klai Yisrael, what are you doing? So there was a big taina, and 14,700 people never died in these tainas. And what happened was, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aharon, Shnel, take the k'toyres v'chaper l'om. Rashi says in Chumash, he learned this from the Malach HaMovis, that this is a secret antidote to against Chas V'Sholem, people dying because they said Loshen Hara, they spoke poorly of Moshe and Aharon, etc. Okay, so k'toyres is m'chaper. V'toni d'vei Rabbi Shmuel, al ma k'toyres m'chaperes, al Loshen Hara. Yovei dover shebachashoi, usually a k'toyres is brought b'chashoi in secret. What do you mean in secret? Rashi says that when the k'toyres is brought every single day of the year, nobody was stood in the Heichel or the Ulam besides the Koyin that was Zolche in the Maisa Ketoris. Nobody else was present, so it's B'chashoy in secret. The Chapel Masa Chashoy, usually a Lashon Hara is whispered. Hey, did you hear? Your Uncle Smith, did you hear? I speak a little loud, I can't tell you. I can't. I'm telling you, Lashon Hara. So therefore, Masa Chashoy is B'chapel Masa Chashoy. Okay, so that's the end of that member of Reb Shuma Levi. Freitach Limura, Kasha Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. Here he's saying that nothing else is mechaper lashon hara. Therefore, we have to come on to the k'toyres. Before we said lashon hara is the benefit of the mil. The mil makes all the sounds, and the one coil nullifies the other coil. And as far as kasha shvichazam, we said before the k'soynis in mechaper, and that's the masa of Yosef from this week's parsha. And now you're saying shvichazam, you have to have the egla rufa. What's going on? Everything will like kasha. How do you do when you talk about shvichazam? How do you do man katli? How do you do man katli? The whole case of Egla Ruf is because we don't know who's the one that killed him. If we would know, we didn't go through this elaborate ceremony called the Egla Rufa, because we don't know. Ah, so therefore you don't know, then you have the Egla Rufa. The case of the Shvichas Dom that we say that's the Ksoinis, did you know who killed him? Frey Timara, Yediyah Mankali, Barkatolahu. Why are we going and bothering and saying the Ksoinis is going to be a Kapara? Kill the murderer. If you know who the murderer is, bring him into Bezin and give him the Arba Mises Bezin. What's going on with him? Everything was amazingly Asrubate. It's talking about that he knew what he was doing, and therefore he's Chayif Taka Misa. However, there's no Hasra. Without Hasra, you can't go and administer Misa. So therefore, says Rashi, therefore you have to have now two Kaparis. one kapara of Klal Yisrael that unfortunately we are in a sense harboring this murderer, we can't go and kill him, so we need a shikl kapara for ourselves. That's what Iksoinus does. And in addition to that, says Rashi, that this person is going to get negoyim on him, and this negoyim is going to be similar to death. Remember, there are four that are compared to Mitzvah. One of them is a Mitzvah. He has to live Mechutz L'Machna for the rest of his life, unless the spots go away, unless he does tshuva. Okay? Says Dr. Yibara, that's why, if you mind, Kotle Bartalu, Bevezvali Asume. Vuzmet Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, Nami Lakashov, Itzino Bevehesia. If it happens to be Taka, quiet Lashon Hara, then we benefit from the Ktorius, because the Ktorius was brought in secret, so to speak. Nobody was around inside the Heichel. However, if people heard about the Lashon Hara, said the Shtickle call, so then that call of the Pamoinim of the Me'il will nullify that. It'll be a kapara for that. Have some of the Kaddish, some of the Kaddish, some of the Kaddish. We start Mitchum tomorrow. Kol HaTodir. Have a wonderful day.